I apologize, my voice is lower than I'm used to, so I can't get the right notes. Well, here we are. It's the last Mass before Holy Week. Palm Sunday is tomorrow, which means it starts tonight. If you go near any church tonight or tomorrow, you'll see many people preparing and selling palms, and hundreds of people everywhere coming to the Mass for Palm Sunday. Of course, Holy Week is the culmination of the Lenten journey. It's also the focal point of the whole liturgical year. Well, not just Holy Week, but Holy Week and Easter Week, or the octave of Easter. Holy Week next week, and then the octave of Easter the following week. And at the middle of all of that is the great Paschal Triduum. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, Easter Sunday. So that's where we are. And the Gospel today anticipates this coming event, or these coming events. The Jews are gathering in Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover. And they're wondering, well, will this Jesus come for the feast or not? Will he come for the feast? We know, of course, he will come for the feast. This is exactly why he has come, for this Passover. The theme chosen for today comes from today's gospel acclamation: make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Sounds good, huh? Sounds very good. A new heart, a new spirit. The newness that we long for. New heart, new spirit, new life, new culture, new possibility. Very appealing. Make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. But if we take this out of context, we will misunderstand what we're being asked here. This is not simply a admonition to be a better person. It's like New Year's Day, everyone makes a resolution to be a better person. I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to keep my diet, I'm going to be more attentive, I'll be more patient with my grandchildren or whatever. All these resolutions that we make for ourselves, fine. But we should know by now, especially this far into Lent, that we can't do it. Not by ourselves. We can't simply make ourselves better or make ourselves new. We can't transform ourselves. We don't have the power. If we could, we wouldn't need the whole season of Lent. We just have to make ourselves new, and that's it. Why do we need 40 days in a desert if all we have to do is make ourselves a new heart and a new spirit? No. This expression by itself is an impossibility. Since we're in the week, we're concluding the week in which we have pondered the raising of Lazarus, you could just as easily say to Lazarus in the tomb, make of yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Lazarus, start a new life, why don't you? Why don't just lay there in the tomb? Get up and start a new life. Well, he can't. He can't do it. He's dead. He doesn't have the power to just start a new life. But the whole point of last Sunday was, Jesus has that power. Jesus is the one who says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes out, not on his own power, but based on the gift of Jesus Christ. So that's a starting point for our reflection today. The theme is, yes, make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, but we're not expecting to do this by ourselves. In fact, the whole verse chosen for the gospel acclamation today says this: cast away from you all the crimes you have committed, says the Lord, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. So this admonition is not simply be a better person, but it's an invitation to conversion. Cast away crimes, turn away from sin, leave the old life behind, start a new way of life. It's an invitation that comes from God, and he provides the power to do it. So cast away from you all the crimes you have committed, that is, all the sins of our past, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Before we talk about how this new heart and new spirit is made, let's also acknowledge that the old heart and the old spirit is the problem. Why should we want a new one if we're satisfied with the old one? We're not satisfied with the old one. We need a new heart because our old heart is tainted by sin. We know this from the whole Lenten journey, but even from today's readings, what is God saving us from? In this prophecy from Ezekiel today, he addresses the people because they're scattered, they're divided, they're lost. And these are terms that we use to describe our sin condition. We're scattered, we're divided, we're lost, we're enslaved, we're imprisoned, we're in darkness, we're in ignorance. These are all expressions of the sin condition. We're lame, we're blind. Sin has crippled us. Sin has confined us. Sin has trapped us. Sin has deceived us. All these things. This is the condition of the old heart, the old spirit. Or we can see a worse example of the sin condition in today's gospel when we see the chief priests and the Pharisees discussing what to do about Jesus. Now, these people are not blind and not physically blind, and they're not enslaved. They're powerful, they're healthy, they're intelligent, they're well-educated. Caiaphas and his colleagues in the Sanhedrin. What are they discussing? Well, Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. And those who saw it and those who heard about it are rightly impressed. And it says at the beginning of today's gospel, many of the Jews who had come to see Mary, that's Mary, the sister of Lazarus, not Mary, the Blessed Mother, to come to see Mary of Bethany and seen what Jesus had done, meaning raising Lazarus from the tomb after being in there for 4 days, many who had come to Mary and had seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him. That's the point, right? That's the answer to the tomb condition, faith in Jesus. He's the one who has the power to give life where we don't have any life. But, and this is where the old heart comes in, right? The problem of sin comes in. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. This Jesus raised a dead man to life. The reaction of the Pharisees is to oppose this obviously great miracle. So it's not that the members of the Sanhedrin are trapped in a prison or in ignorance. They decide to oppose what is obviously good. So their problem is more interior. The sin condition in their case is a deeply interior corruption. Jealousy, control, pride, self-righteousness, judgment. Caiaphas speaks out and says, it's better for one man to die than for the whole nation to be destroyed. You see what's behind it. He says, well, they're all saying this, if we leave him alone, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation. Fear, control. They're afraid of the Romans, but they're not willing to trust in the power of God. So they're grasping their own power because they won't yield to God's power. That's the sin condition right there. That's the old heart and the old spirit. It leads to deciding to kill an innocent man for the sake of the nation, which is a grave evil, to do evil. The intention is to save the nation, but then John the Evangelist says, actually, this was a prophetic word, because Jesus actually will die for the nation, not only for the nation, but for the whole world, for all nations. Jesus has come to do this exact thing, not because he's submitting to the jealousy and the pride of the Pharisees, but because he's doing the will of the Father. He's being obedient to the Father. He's not forced into this. He's not being taken by surprise. He's offering himself. And this takes us to the final point of our reflection here. The first point is, we can't make ourselves We can't make of ourselves a new heart and a new spirit. We don't have the power to do it. The second point is the old heart and the old spirit is a problem. We don't want to remain in that condition, or we shouldn't want to. So the third point is, how do we get this new heart and the new spirit? And this is where Holy Week and Easter come in. God's power revealed for us, released for us. God's power to transform us. Listen to the prophecy again of Ezekiel. I will take the children of Israel from among the nations to which they have come and gather them from all sides. I'm the one, the Lord says. I'm going to gather them. I'm going to make them one nation. I'm going to unite them. I'm going to free them from their defilement, from their apostasy, from all their abominations and their idols and all their old heart and old spirit, their sin condition. I'm the one who's going to save them from this affliction. I'm going to make of them a covenant of peace, an everlasting covenant. These are all promises of the Lord through Ezekiel. My dwelling will be with them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Thus the nations shall know that it is I, the Lord, who make Israel holy. Okay, this is the key, right? Who makes us holy? Who gives us a new heart and a new spirit? The Lord. Since that's the promise, what's our part now? Since we can't do it ourselves, but he can do it, our part is to put our trust in him, to make that decision to turn away from sin and follow the Lord, to welcome the grace of conversion, which is the grace of Lent and Holy Week, to welcome the opportunity to be made new. This is our part, because God, who wants very much to make us a new heart, a new spirit, who wants very much to save us from our sin condition, in fact, he's so willing to do it, he'll die for us. But he won't force us to be saved. He won't force us to be made new. We have to say yes to it. So that's the invitation that we're given as we reach the threshold of Holy Week. Let us allow God to make us a new heart and a new spirit. Let us allow God to do the great work of saving us and let us gain the benefit of it. The decision of faith opens the door to an unimaginable power of our redemption. It allows us to be under the care of the shepherd who guides us to eternal life. If we don't make that decision, and if we don't repeatedly make it, then we risk losing the great gift. So let us use this holy time, this holiest time of the year, for our benefit and for the benefit of others. May we be good, obedient sheep of the good shepherd. May we be recipients of the grace of conversion so that we can have a new heart and a new spirit.